probably got mask face. I remember I was thinking when Reuben come and preached his meeting, he has a much thicker beard than I do for sure. He was worried about the crisscrosses across his beard. Yeah. Well, it's definitely good to be back and back up here. I definitely appreciate all the prayers that everyone has prayed for us on our behalf. And I was trying to tell at the end of the other day, I can't even remember the last time that I missed a Sunday service. I know Deanna had to miss two because Seth had strep throat a while back, but I guess the last time I had missed was when I was in the hospital. I got placed in the hospital for an infection, and that would have been, I don't even know, 10 years, I guess. But the Lord has blessed us well. We are back. The lesson this morning, I actually had got the topic and wrote the topic out the Saturday that we did the cleanup here at the building. Terrence was busy pressure washing the sign out there, and I was doing a little scrubbing around the corners and stuff with a brush. And I was thinking, looking at the sign out there, on the sign, we actually have wrote, "Everyone is welcome," or something very similar to that. And I'd already noticed two or three signs along the similar lines of pretty much, "Everyone's welcome," "Come as you are," that kind of thing. And I got to thinking, there's a big difference, even though the wording's really same, of what we have out there, and what we mean by "everyone is welcome" compared to a sign closer to this one, "everyone is welcome" here. And notice, like, they've got some different symbols for different things, and some of them I don't even realize what they're for there, but they're making the point that you can be what you want to be, how you want to be, come as you are, and you're welcome to be just what you are. There's a big difference between our signs saying "everyone welcome" and signs like that on buildings saying what they are saying. There's a big difference in there. Now, I'll be the first one to say we're perfectly fine having that on our sign, "everyone welcome," because we have statements, like Jesus makes here, Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." See, that says all. He says, everyone's welcome. Everyone is welcome to come to him. And that's the reason we've got that up on our sign, is everyone is welcome to come unto him. Come unto Jesus, to learn of him, to take and lay those sins down, to lay those burdens down, to be as him. Galatians 3:28, Paul making the point, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." The idea that there are differences in how we look, differences in our background and our history, and that doesn't matter. When we come unto Christ, we become as Christ, and we're going to talk more about that. We're welcome. It doesn't matter, your nationality. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter male or female. That doesn't matter. So in that sense, everyone welcome is still true. John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." The Lord's talking about he is going to welcome in, any that's willing to come in, and he's going to make a place for them. But there's a big difference, though, in the ideal of what Jesus is saying, "everyone come unto me." And then statements more like this, again, a group has put on, "come to Jesus just as you are." There's a big difference in that. Not "come unto me, and I will take and help you become what you need to be. But you come unto me and I'll just accept you as you are. There are no changes needed, period. Here's another sign. This is from the United Church of Christ. "Jesus didn't reject people, neither do we." And I got to thinking hard when I found that one. I'm like, well, they sure have a lot wrong there. That's not the Jesus that I remember. How about the Jesus that said in Matthew 23:33, "Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?" That's the Jesus I know in the scriptures. He didn't welcome them in as they were. He didn't welcome these Jewish leaders and their destructive mannerisms. He didn't welcome them in as they are. No, he calls them serpents, brood of vipers, and tells them they're going to hell. How about John 2:15? You know, when he comes into the temple, and there he looks across the temple and he sees all of these things that are being done, really in service to the Lord, that are contrary to serving the Lord. And verse 15 says, when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. That's the Jesus that I read about when it comes to, you know, willing to accept anything and everything as is. He didn't accept their actions. He didn't accept their deeds and what they were doing there in so-called worship service unto the Father. Mark 6 and 11. How about this when he was sending them out? We just studied this. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So he's telling them, you know, if they're not willing to take and hear the truth, then you knock the dust off your feet and you move on and I'll deal with them. That's the Jesus that I read about. Not one that says, just come as you are and I'll accept however you want to act, do whatever you want to do. That's not the Jesus in the Bible. How about, you know, when Paul, you know, writes to the Romans, Romans 12:2, you know, they've got a lot to deal with there, Rome. And he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul is telling you there, yes, you know, everyone is welcome. You are welcome to come unto the Lord, but he's going to expect you to change. You cannot be just what you want to be. You cannot just live however you want to live and think that God accepts you in that manner. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So Paul there talking to the Corinthians, he's making that point that we look at the Lord. So yes, we're welcome to come unto him. He wants us to come unto him. He wants us to come and lay our burden of sin down, to escape that, to be, you know, have that removed. And then we're transforming ourselves to be like unto him. That's not be just what you are and you're fine. That's not live however you want to live and be just fine. And then we get signs like this right here. You know, welcome. All sizes, all colors, all ages, all cultures, all sexes, all beliefs, all religions, all types, all people, safe here. You know, you get that kind of sign there. Whoever you are, whatever you believe, however you want to live your life, whatever you want to be a part of, just fine. Is it though? Is it just fine? I don't see how a group could ever use a sign like this and then take and compare that to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 18. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. In part, I believe it. How can you take and have a sign? And I don't know if this one's used particularly for, you know, any single group or not, but how can you say, you know, any belief, you know, in anything that you want to do, and then say, okay, there's division, or, you know, are you unified in differences? I mean, how do you justify that? We're all unified in being different? That doesn't make sense. That's like saying chaos, you know, works perfectly. No, that doesn't work. You know, chaos destroys. Chaos doesn't build. It doesn't take and let you grow closer together. No, chaos destroys. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Again, you got to have unity. How can you say you could just be whatever you want, live however you want, act however you want, believe whatever you want, and then still be unified into Christ? Doesn't work. That's not in the scriptures. We need to understand, though, everyone is welcome. I mean, the Lord has been clear on that. Come, all. You know, everyone is welcome. But every behavior and or mindset is not welcome. So, you know, when we say just as you are, accept you as you are, we can't say that. We never can say that. And, you know, groups use that to take and bring people in. That's a pull. You know, that's what they're using. you don't have to change. You can be whatever you want to be, and you're fine. Come into us. The problem is they can never come into the body of Christ, you know, with those kind of behaviors, those mindsets, those actions, those deeds. It just cannot happen. I mean, for one, why would God demand repentance if all of those actions, behaviors, mindsets were acceptable? Why would he demand change? Acts 2 verse 38, one of the first commands here coming in to the body of Christ, the kingdom being set. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why would one of the very first words be repent? Why would it be change if everybody could just come as they are and be welcome to come in as they are? They cannot. Peter's letting them know there has to be a change. Acts 26 and 20. But declare it first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. So again, you know, if we just say, you know, welcome in, welcome as you are, live as you please, do as you please, then why would Paul have put so much effort into spreading the gospel throughout this huge amount of regions he talks about? And what he's teaching them is repent, change, turn to God, and be what you're supposed to be. It doesn't fit now, does it? You can't put up a sign and then expect, you know, people to come as they are and not be contradictory to the Lord. So we need to understand that God has open arms. There's no doubt about that. I'll never preach against that. God has open arms. But he also demands change to come into those arms. He wants you to be better. He wants you to be pure. He wants you to be more precious in his sight. He doesn't want you to come in and say, okay, I am covered in filth. I'll just take that filth as is. Revelation 3:18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. He's telling them here that they've got to make some changes. They were known for their wealth and all of these things. And he says, no, you need to seek me out and buy for yourself true gold. As in, you need to take and come and purify yourself, remove the filth of the flesh, and become really what I see as being rich. And get rid of those garments, that filth of the flesh, and be clothed so that you cannot or should not be shamed by the way you are. And anoint your eyes, clean the garbage out of your eyes so you can see properly. When you have, you know, instructions like this, you can't say, just be what you want to be, stay as you are, and think the Lord's going to accept you. The Lord's not. The Lord has been very clear that he does not accept everyone as they are. Revelations 21 and 8, as we're starting to work our way toward the close here. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He's been very clear that he does not accept everyone as they are. Now, we as mankind can put up signs that say that, but that doesn't mean it's true. It's a false sense of security, and it'll take those individuals to hell and us if we do the same thing as part of that. Today, like I said, he's got open arms. You can come unto him. You're welcome to come unto him, but only if you're willing to become like him. We need to realize that when we're teaching those in the world, yeah, everyone's welcome. But everyone's welcome to come and learn. Everyone's welcome to come and change. Everyone's welcome to come and be like Christ. This morning, you are welcome to do that very thing. If you've not obeyed the gospel, make that decision to do so this morning. Or maybe you have obeyed the gospel, but you've turned unto the world. Decide to turn back. You are welcome. But you're welcome to change to be like he wants you to be. This morning, if we can help in either case, we're happy to. If you'll come forward, as together we stand and sing.
Standing on the promises of Christ's life, through eternal ages, let his praise. the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing.